This interview is part of a research study produced by FT Longitude in partnership with London Stock Exchange Group.
For today's financial services leaders, trustworthy data is the cornerstone of decision-making. But data integrity and accessibility can be difficult to pin down in a volatile macroeconomic climate. So, how can financial services leaders ensure their digital transformation enables innovative decision-making for better business outcomes? I'm Shanice Henry, Senior Editor at FT Longitude, and joining me to discuss this is Birgit Brin, or Bridget, as everyone calls her, who is the Chief Technology and Operating Officer at Norges Bank Investment Management. Bridget, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Bridget, you've been at the forefront of operations in your organisation for a number of years now. And of course, companies today are operating against a radically different backdrop than we've seen for many years, one with far more volatility and as a result, instability. And it's critical that they make the most of the opportunities, as well as seeing risks as clearly as possible. So it'd be great to hear from you, Bridget, on how the contextual climate is reshaping how you're approaching digital transformation at Norges Bank.
In general, the global macroeconomic climate has been a challenge for all investors the last few years. And for us, to be fast to the market and also possibility to do forward simulation and stress tests is crucial. And we have to make sure that our portfolio managers and traders have the tools to meet these requirements and in a world where these things can change very fast. So we are building systems internally for mandate control and also for portfolio management and trading. So we want this to be tailor-made and we want to have full control over that kind of development. So in general, we underwent a significant digital transformation when we migrated all of our technical infrastructure and all our systems to the cloud. And I believe that it has been and still is our most critical transformation to meet the future requirements going forward and also to facilitate scalability and security above all in a cost-efficient manner is our best approach, I would say, to tackling future challenges. And I must say also that we have kind of decided a few years ago to bring everything in-house. I see many investment firms, they are outsourcing things, but we went the opposite way. And that has given us full control and the ability to change rapidly if that's necessary. And we also strive to contribute to others by being as transparent as we can as a fund. So we share data externally through modern mechanisms. And that includes sharing our proxy voting, our holding lists, and more. And we hope that that can be beneficial for other investors. I think last but not least, I would like to mention cybersecurity. It has become more and more critical. And I believe that more and more advanced threats and threat actors and information that is needed to be absorbed into our infrastructure in a meaningful way is something that we spend a lot of resources on. Analyzing the constant shift in the security environment is something that we're spending more and more resources on. And the macroeconomic and globalization of the world today, more and more important.
Absolutely. And also feeding that into your staff training, right? So making sure that, of course, you've got your technical folk that are aware and scanning the landscape, but also everyone in your business, despite their level of acumen or skills with cyber awareness, it becomes as heightened as it can be through the training that you give. The risk landscape with cyber is always evolving. There's always more threats that are becoming more sophisticated. So it's about making sure that awareness filters all the way through the business. And I'd like to keep digging into this area of risk that we're mentioning here, not only on the cyber side, but also in terms of compliance or wider operations and specifically around data. So how is data playing an important role to identify, manage and mitigate risk at Norges Bank?
I mean, our business is 100% driven by data. Whether it's research or generating investment strategies, ideas, trading, the entire confirmation and settlement process and the reporting process is dependent upon data. It's crucial that data has the right quality from the start. We handle it with as little influence as possible, only adding information along the way with high quality, so as clean as possible. And central to this is how we source data, where our focus continues to be on obtaining this as directly from the source as possible. And if we talk about latency, which is often discussed, it's crucial aspects. It's easy to put into perspective as, for instance, we have a long-term horizon to our investments. It's a generation fund. It's a fund for generations. So in that sense, latency is not important. But if you then put it into perspective of trading operations, latency is very crucial, particularly when we come to algorithms and algorithm tradings. It's extremely important. And of course, data is important in the AI revolution that we are looking at currently. It has become much easier and much more efficient to both develop and to operate the recent years when it comes to data. And what used to take months can now only take days. And the fact that it's easier means that we're less dependent on relatively few key individuals as opposed to what we used to be. And also allowing us then to do more things in parallel.
And like you're saying there, without data at the heart of all those things, it's going to really damage the quality of the outputs. And with that in mind, I think it would be interesting to look at front, middle and back offices within businesses. So, of course, you've got at the front, the more revenue generating front of house roles, and then those thread through to be supported by the operational middle and back roles. So how would you say that data and tech is enabling better decision making in the front, middle and back offices roles at Norges Bank?
I would say that simplicity is kind of the key word here. To make data available to the organization and all downstream systems and access to clean data and the same data sets in all processes to avoid duplication and deviations between various data sets. And this is not easy. I mean, at current stage, we are doing a big cleanup to get there. 25 years of history. It's a huge undertaking, but it needs to be done to be efficient going forward and to cater for future AI projects. And I would also like to highlight our cloud strategy and our focus on one global custodian bank, one system architecture with as few interfaces as possible and core systems that support entire management. And I would say that now it's easier than ever to get systems to talk to each other. And our approach to this is to build a platform for integration with core systems, which will enable us to build simple front-end solutions targeted towards end users going forward. So for us, front, middle, and back office systems is kind of integrated on one platform or maybe two platforms.
It would be good to hear more about any particular lessons you've learned from your experience on the data modelling techniques or technologies that you've used in your time, Bridget. I know you were mentioning about the power of the cloud that financial services companies should look to lean towards or maybe avoid when they're looking to identify opportunities and risks, especially around this volatility we have. So any do's and don'ts that you have from your experience around data modelling techniques or technologies?
New technology has made the development and operations of systems and data much more efficient. It has enabled some kind of democratization of both applications and development internally. So a smaller proportion of the total is now centrally controlled. Much more is more like sent to the business lines. And it increases the capacity and it proves the fit of what we are building to support revenue generating tasks. And it reduces also the bottlenecks. And I guess the lowest hanging fruit is probably related to operational gains from automation by traditional programming techniques. at the other end of the scale, high profile excess return creation is often linked to an element of creativity, and it's difficult to automate entirely. But I think one key insight is that one of the greatest potential is to avoid dealing with those extremes in separation and instead focus on the interface between the two and work holistically on the totality of the organization's activities. So, collaboration, absolutely. Investment-focused operations and operationally efficient investment decisions. So, one example would be with corporate actions. We generally high volumes of low quality information, operational differences according to investment objectives is very important. While lots of portfolio management time can be saved by assistance of language models found in generative AI, for instance. Optimization is another example with the potential to improve quality and save time, but only if done right and supported by high quality forward-looking data. So, I mean, in general, it's a tall order for off-shelf front-end systems to combine the general and efficiency necessary to meet complex investment organizations.
And on that note of complexity, I wanted to pick up on a point you made slightly earlier on having a standardized language or just a general rule for standardization within your data and also your platforms. A lot of companies are looking to do this, you know, to get started or dial that up, but it's not always easy to know where to begin. So do you have any advice on that, where to get started with this standardization mission that a lot of companies will be on?
I think that trying to start with the smaller things, the easier things, the standardized things has at least been beneficial to us, and then build on top of that as you go along. We have started more from the practical angle and then built kind of the solutions and the governance around the systems as we went along. I also think that you have to spend a lot of time on tidying up in the infrastructure and the data sources. Otherwise, it's just going to be just another platform or just another system where you have to maintain deviations between with the new things that you're building and what you already have in other places of the firm. You can, of course, build interfaces in between them, and that is something that we have done as well, but we try to make as little interfaces as possible. And that has been beneficial for us, and we're still continuing on that journey. Simple architecture, one platform for everything that is important within the portfolio management has been beneficial for us. But I realize it's a big journey for most companies and has been also for us, and it still is. But I think it needs to be something that the organization decides to do, decides to spend money on, decides to spend resources on. And again, we have a big advantage for being the kind of fund as we are. A fund for generations also has made it possible for us to prioritize these things. We don't have to really worry about, you know, the reporting of next quarter when it comes to this. We have the means that we need to do these huge investments in these kind of platforms, because that's what it is, huge investments.
And finally, Bridget, it would be great if you could share your golden rule on how financial services companies should be looking to make sure that their digital transformation efforts are fit for purpose in today's current volatility.
Collaboration between the various areas is probably the best starting point. And as I mentioned previously, to agree on the strategy and what to prioritize is probably the best advice I can give. I think it's important to get people on board, to hire the right people that already have some kind of expertise, that have been through some kind of transformation already, particularly to the cloud, particularly to transformation over to modern data warehouses and the possibilities that these kind of setups can make, I think it's important to go through that first of all. And then take away the things that are not the most important things. Start with core. Try to get the core and to get the most important key processes in order before you kind of move forward. That would be my advice, at least. And that has been our learning point, that if we did it all again, we would have prioritized a bit differently, probably. And we would have made sure that we had in-house competence before we went along. That said, we were eager and started without going through all of these things before we started. And I think that in some sense, that also made us move much faster because we didn't do all the analyzing work beforehand. We didn't go through all aspects and all things that we can fail on as we went along. We kind of jumped into it and we decided that this is the deadline. We're going to make it within this deadline. And then after we kind of made the jump, we tied it up in all of the things afterwards. It's probably not ideal, but it has made us move forward very quickly. And I think that when we talk to our vendors, they say that a lot of the questions and a lot of things that we want them to make or make available for us is something that pushes them forward, because we have kind of come quite far when it comes to using the possibilities that these modern tools and modern platforms can make available. So in that sense, it has been a good idea. But it has been stressful for the organization also.
I can imagine. And I think there's something to be said for the fact that in businesses, there can be a lot of agonizing, a lot of overthinking. So sometimes learning as you go and getting started, there's a lot to be said for that. And when it's done well, it can be a great thing with a lot of rewards. And it definitely sounds like that's the case with Norges Bank and your experience there. Well, it was incredibly fascinating to speak to you today, Bridget. Thanks for joining us. And we're wishing you and Norges Bank all the best with your digital transformation and other endeavours.
Thank you so much for having us on board.
This interview is part of a research study produced by FT Longitude in partnership with London Stock Exchange Group.